Oops.
Hey, sorry. I hope you guys weren't excited to hear about these episodes, because it's been...
Well, I tell you what, they're not good.
Has it been over a month?
I think it might have been.
Oops.
We can find out readily when the last one was put out, the last episode.
Yeah.
But a lot of things did happen that got in the way, certainly.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that these episodes are bad.
Yeah.
And we couldn't gather the strength needed.
I still don't really have it. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. This is not going to be a banger of an episode.
But we're going to try because we may just end up broadening the conversation.
Yes.
Because I don't know that I got more than, 12 minutes in me. Across both of these.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about Star Trek in general, I think. This was maybe the first time that I was like, is this concept for a podcast bad?
Right, it's on the strength of, this show, where it lives and dies, and I don't know how to get around it.
And oof, these were some fucking stinkers.
So the episodes that we want to talk about... We're supposed to talk about
that the episodes we're going to do our best to talk about.
We'll refresh you. Yeah, season 1, episodes 13 and 14, Dear Doctor and Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
And
is that your read? It's not very good.
What is the read? No. Sorry. No, I'm not doing read.
So, look, Dear Doctor was okay. We keep kind of coming back to this one's... Okay, it's got some cool ideas.
It has cool ideas, but the least cool idea is that there's a crew person that she's got the hots for Phlox.
Yeah.
Who is like a weird egg of a man.
Yeah.
That...
He is personable.
Sure, but like a car salesman. I don't know. He's like a he's like a radio host.
Yeah.
Just weirdly specific and persnickety.
Yeah.
He's very interested in things, which I think is that's a nice affect in a person, and I appreciate that. But not in a way where I'm like, I like this guy.
Yeah, I don't think it's erotic to hang out with someone who's constantly pointing out the idiosyncrasies of human behavior.
Yeah, and that's also, that specifically is what he likes to do.
Yeah. That's why he's on Enterprise.
Yeah. He just... Wow, we got a lot of planes. Yeah. I'll see if I can take those out.
Yeah,
but
when you were doing the room tone, I was like, no, there's going to be
planes.
I'm right on a flight path. So,
bad episode. Weird man. He's already got wives at home.
He's got all those wives at home, but they have all those husbands, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I really do not understand how that works. Because he said, I have three wives.
Yeah.
They each have three husbands.
Yeah, how does that...
So that...
Is it like a web? Is it like a that's the entirety of the planet?
And I think there's a real big plane. And I think there's a... fucking... I think there's an implication, or it might be said later, that the mating process requires three men.
Okay, so they have some alien nation, like there's a third gender, or there's like other needs for this to happen.
Yeah.
You can't just do it one-on-one like a lot of other species.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But it's still just two genders as far as I know.
Imagine.
So it doesn't really make sense.
Maybe there's like sort of a, not like a trimorphism, where one, the female makes the egg.
Yeah.
The one of the males, they end up specializing. One makes the sperm.
Okay.
The other one makes the semen.
Yeah.
So there's motility.
What's the third thing?
Oh, there's a third one? The third one enjoys it. They don't make anything. They're just, they have to be there also.
It's like they're the coach.
Right. Because it is confusing. Because it's so confusing. And they're there in a, like you said, like a bystander.
Yeah. Or maybe in like a physician capacity, maybe they mix the semen and the sperm together and do like a IUI.
I see. So it is technically, somehow that evolved.
Right.
Super complicated. A lot of other species got around that.
Yeah.
By just doing, one of them does all of
by
it.
By dying.
Yeah.
Or one of them does all of it.
One of them can do all of it, and then the rest is...
The fact that they survived is really, it's a modern miracle.
So wait, he has three wives, but each of those wives has three husbands in total.
Yeah.
Why would he need three wives?
I don't know. I don't understand anything.
Are there also three types of wife? Doesn't matter. Even this is more interesting.
Oh, 1,000%.
Like, and I would be, again, interested in Phlox as a friend.
Yeah.
Like, this is very curious, and
I would never think about him as a kissing partner.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. He also doesn't want it. It's established that they don't like to be touched.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. I know you don't like to be touched, but I just did it. She's a weirdo. I don't enjoy her.
She's a weird character.
Yeah, and I don't think we ever see her again.
Yeah.
I think she was there for that. It's like that.
Which is a challenge for an actor.
You gotta watch Voyager. There's a character that shows up in Voyager that's like a, I think he's in engineering or something. But it's just like, you kind of see, you see him just randomly in the back of a thing, and you go, whoa, he's handsome. And then he dies two episodes later.
Oh.
That's it. It's just like, he's that one.
It's cool that they would seed it. They'd have him there.
No, it's like, yeah. Oh, they killed that hot guy. And then you're kind of sad. Because you heard him say like three words maybe. And you were like, is this a new guy?
Right.
I get to look at? Mm-hmm. That's not fucking Tom Paris.
Nope.
Sorry.
Tom Paris, whoever the actor is, he's like, too hot. Get him out.
It's Captain Protons all the way down.
He has to die.
So, okay. They're watching a movie.
Yeah, the same episode. So again, as part of the same episode, I swear, because we've been thinking about not doing this for so long.
Yeah.
That I'm like, we said this? Didn't we talk about this?
No, we talked to each other about it, and we were like, is this interesting?
But that's a podcast, too. That's just a podcast with no audience.
We should have just recorded in the room, like on our phones.
We're talking about how much we hate this.
So I thought about it. Let's just fucking turn it on.
So they have movie nights on Enterprise. And they're watching, and Phlox is watching the audience. He's not watching the movie because he's like, what is up? These humans are sad and they're feeling the feelings of the movie.
This is dumb.
And
Trip cries. Trip is crying. That's the best part of the whole show.
And he's such a dope because he's like, well, the show is a dope.
Yeah.
Because we get who's cutting onions or whatever.
Yeah.
I have allergies to movies.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. It's my allergies.
And
it's just toxic masculinity, but you know, on Archer's Enterprise, of course toxic masculinity is going to be fucking rampant.
It's been given a home.
Yeah.
In the stars.
Yeah.
We do two things. We look at comets.
Oh, God.
And we are big men, and women.
Yeah.
Tell you what. But again, I think the crew person, the love interest, she's there in the movie too, right? She's in the theater.
Yeah. They're sitting next to each other.
She's looking at Phlox and who is talking and just being obnoxious.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's cute. I like this.
Right.
Oh yeah. I like this guy.
Right. God, it's not even, the B plot of her is like not even really in the fucking.
It really could be broken down to like maybe three moments. Yeah. Not even scenes.
Cutler, that's her name.
Okay.
Cudler? Yep.
Ensign Cudler.
Yeah, it's really like that part's not important. She just like, she has this weird crush on him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just run through all this shit.
Sure.
So she walks him back to quarters, or he walks her back or whatever, and she like kisses him on the cheek.
Right.
And then
impish.
Yeah. Weird. And then he talks to Hoshi about it.
Right.
Because Hoshi's trying to learn Denobulan. Which, like, isn't that your goddamn job?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not even that hard of a language,
You haven't picked up Denobulan by now.
Right.
And also, I get that they're, like, in the mess hall and they're doing it casually, but should you not also be, like, fine-tuning the universal translator while you're doing that?
Yeah.
If you're going to be working on any language.
I don't know. That's a good question.
But they're having... What is her job? Tables?
She has to figure out what it is she does.
Yeah.
I don't know what her job is, but she's sort of, I know what her job title is, what she's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But they don't use her for that.
No.
She is sort of like a counselor.
She is.
She talks to the crew and she advances.
Right.
In her relationships.
But she is a universal translator technician. She's not a fucking linguist. She's not used as that.
She's like a ChatGPT prompt engineer.
Yeah.
But in the future.
Right. So they're talking.
It's not my job to learn the languages. It's my job to figure out how to get this thing to learn them correctly.
Right.
And then I can just be fired. And then I don't have a job.
Because even in the next episode, isn't she using the UT to fucking decipher the Klingon stuff?
Yes.
Like, you can't read Klingon?
Yeah, you should.
What are you doing?
Those are important. Like, Denobulan or whatever, I get. I mean, it would be nice to have, I guess.
Yeah.
But
that's more of a kindness to Phlox.
Yeah, but Klingon, this is a crucial language.
Yes.
We are in issues. We're having problems
with
this species.
There's a lot of bullshit happening.
This empire.
But can't depend
on this.
But Phlox is like, yeah, she kissed me on the cheek. And Hoshi's like, how do you feel about it? And he's like, I don't know. It's interesting. He sounds like me.
Yeah, he's just very detached. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm dating somebody. I'll see how far this goes.
Right. I'm not worried. Like, it doesn't fill me with, like, what do I do next?
Right.
That's their problem.
Yeah, that's your fucking issue.
So, I don't know. Try it. Let's see what this does.
Yeah,
see what happens.
See what it is. Oh, you want me to delete Tinder? I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, I have no goal here.
My goal is to see how far this could get before you annoy me. But that's me again.
There was a similar... Wasn't there a similar... like a parallel in TNG, which I don't think you have much recollection.
Yeah.
But like somebody dating Data.
Oh, yeah. And then, okay, I know that episode. Because that episode whips shit.
Yeah.
Because like the midway point where he's like... I've determined it's time for us to have an argument. And he's being a real cocksucker.
No, because isn't that the episode two where... Here, now we're talking about a cool show. Yeah. Isn't that the episode two where... Toward the end where it's like, I don't think this is working out between us. And Data's like, oh, okay. Well, I'll just delete the subroutines I had, you know.
To remind me of your birthday or whatever.
Right. I just... All the processes that I'm like, how do I manage this relationship? I can dump it now.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. It goes back to watering a plant or something.
It would have been funnier, though, if he was like, I had the relationship scheduled to conclude in, three business days.
Yeah, it's like chess. Like, I can already see how this is not going to work.
Right. You've exceeded my expectations.
Right.
The relationship is finished.
You were more patient than I thought you would be. I thought you'd be done, but now I'm done.
Now I'm done. Boop, boop.
It's like Skype noises.
That's what I do.
Okay, back to Phlox, though.
Back to Phlox. And then is the only other interaction they have when they're on the planet?
I think so. I think those are the three moments.
And he's like, you don't know this culture. You don't know this species. I'm married. I have three wives. I have all this stuff. And she's like, I have all this cool stuff. And Cutler goes, why are you telling me this? And he's like, because you're trying to fuck me.
Yeah, because this is stuff you probably should know.
This is stuff that maybe you would be interested to know. Maybe you should have asked if I was married before you fucking kissed me on the cheek.
Yeah.
Slut? That's not what happens. But
no, he wouldn't do that.
No, he's just like, we are different species. We have different cultures. And it seems like I'm a curiosity to you.
Right. I don't know where this is coming from.
Which is also like, everyone's a curiosity to you. So that's kind of a weird insult for him to levy. Like,
dude, you don't love me for me. Now, me on the other hand, I just think this is all fucking weird.
Yeah.
This is like a show for
me. I think the shape of your hair is some of the most interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen on another
the
humanoid.
The only reason why I would have sex with you is to just see how that hair moves in that context.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't care. I probably only need 30 seconds. I get all the data I need from there.
I can get a download real quick.
I'm done looking at your hair. Goodbye.
Okay.
Could you leave, please?
So,
don't you just wish one of my wives was here? Because she'd be so mad.
Oh.
She would just hit you and beat the shit out of you.
I'm so excited for you to meet one of Phlox's wives when that happens.
Okay.
That is buck wild.
Okay, so, but the main plot.
The main plot. So, they, two Wolachians.
Gosh, you really remember these names,
I just looked at it.
Oh, okay, okay.
But I wanted to remember it.
Right.
I probably could have got there if I had to. Wait, what are the other, the Menk. Okay, the, yeah, I can do it. Yeah.
I think I could have gotten to that one.
They're a fucking afterthought. Two of the Wolachians. But two of them crash, or, like, their shuttlecraft is all fucked up or whatever. So they beam them on board, and they are sick.
Yes.
And
they've been sick. They've been sick for a long time.
They've been sick for a long time. And they're so that's why they're, like, going out and trying to find any species with, like, more technology than they have. They've met two other warp-capable species that would not help them with this illness.
Right. One was Ferengi, right?
Yeah.
One was Ferengi and then some other one.
Yeah. So I looked in the thing. It's the only time they're ever mentioned ever in sure. the history of Star Trek. Yeah, so they don't matter. It's just
to round out that
it's just a name.
List. Yeah.
But, like, of course the Ferengi wouldn't fucking help them.
No.
Who cares
There's
about...
There's no opportunity for profit.
Wait a minute, though. Did it... Was it the alien called Mekleth? Like the fucking...
No, I don't think so. But it might have had an
Isn't
M.
that what I said? No, said Mekleksa.
That's what... Oh, that's why you said that.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a... I thought that was like a Scottish version of Alexa. I thought that's what you were saying
No, they said that they met the Mekleksa and the Ferengi.
Oh, Mekleksa.
Oh, potatoes. So they're just like, hey, can you help us? And Phlox is like, well, I'm a doctor and it's my duty.
I can try.
And we'll try it. And, you know, Archer's kind of up for anything.
Archer's game, although it's not his favorite sightseeing thing. He would love to look at a big space ball.
He wants to look at a comet.
Something moving in
space
slowly.
But there's no comets around right now. So he's like, okay, I guess we can help these people from dying. They go down to, like, the hospital there. And it's, like, it's Phlox and Hoshi.
Yeah.
And a couple other people, but that doesn't matter. And they're, like, Phlox is kind of directing certain aspects of it.
That's right, yeah.
And then Hoshi tries to talk to one of the, like, nurses or attendants or whatever. And they don't speak the same language as the Wolachians, even though they look basically exactly the same. And the doctor, the Wolachian doctor comes over and goes, he's Mink!
Yeah. Don't talk to him.
Yeah. So
he's stupid.
So that's when we find out that there are two sentient species that are on this planet together.
And one is just like a, I don't know, we don't really, the Wolachians are treating them like they're dumb.
Yeah.
Or lesser.
Yes.
But they don't seem like they are.
No, I think they just subjugated them because they could.
Right. Because they're like, the Menk are like, no food grows here, but the Wolachians give us food.
Yeah, they let us live in these weird fucked up caves.
Right. They have like a tent. I thought it was like a field hospital, but like that's their
city. That's where they live.
That's their actual like their empire.
And I think I don't remember if Archer points it out or if Phlox points it out that they're like, this is real weird. Usually
there's just one emergent top species.
Yeah, there's like one top species. So the fact that you guys are kind of coexisting is interesting. And, like, coexisting is pushing it. Yeah. They are slaves. Yeah. But...
an Archer is not... that might pique Archer a little bit.
Yeah.
But it ain't a comet. He's not interested in it that much.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's better than I thought, but still, that's only going to hold me a little bit more.
It's because the Wolachian doctor didn't make his eggs right.
No. And that's a sin.
They were dry.
That's his prime directive.
But, so Phlox is like, how many of the Menk are sick? And he goes, oh, they don't get it.
They don't get this.
And it's like, you guys haven't thought before that maybe they might have...
some sort of a genetic guard.
Yeah, that they're like, not...
also, y'all are very similar.
That they're not getting it. And so he's... so they go to the... that Menk... shantytown.
I don't like how you say that. Hit that K hard. This fucking Menk over here.
Well, I mean, that's what it sounds
it
like.
It does.
It's bad. It's a bad name.
It's a slur. But there's no, because they're not allowed to have their own language, or like their own culture.
Yeah.
That's also the word they now call themselves.
But they go to their little huts and are taking blood samples so they can study why they have an immunity.
Right.
Oh, we forgot the actual fucking, that he's writing the letters.
Oh, right, the framing for this thing. Who's he writing letters to?
To a human doctor on Denobula.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares about this?
Because we're not going to learn about that guy. This is just the device for the story. Yeah. He's just like, they're so interesting. I'm having a weird time.
We learn about that there's like a weird Denobulan whorehouse that he tells the guy to go to, and he's like, don't go without somebody else, because it's pretty overwhelming.
Don't go without protection, and I mean a gun. I mean you have to be safe.
So he studies all the blood samples, and he figures out that it's like a... How does he phrase it?
It's a chromosomal, like, degeneration.
Yeah.
It's not solvable.
Yeah.
It's not a disease that they can cure.
It's something, but he said it's like they had, it's like their species had, like, planned obsolescence, basically.
Yeah.
He's like, they were designed to not survive this thing.
I'm not meant to live long. But the Mank are okay.
And while they're down there with the Mank, they start, like, they're picking up English really fast.
Yeah, like, they're capable of learning. They're not so dumb as the, whatever these other guys, what are they called?
As the Volokians would have us believe.
I almost said Vicarians.
No, that's Garrus's last name.
That's Garrus's last name. That's his family.
The Vicarians would never do this.
Yeah, now remind me this, because then he goes to Archer with this information. He's like, this species is going to die out, and the Mank are probably going to become dominant. Just over thousands of years, however long.
Yeah.
And Archer's like, we don't play God.
Right.
But meaning what? Don't cure the...
Meaning, yes, cure it. He doesn't want...
But that's playing God.
Right. It's fucking stupid.
We don't play God. Save them from dying.
Yeah.
That's playing God, dummy.
And he's like, keep working on the cure.
So that those Mank won't take over.
Yeah.
Because I'm on their side. I hate these guys.
I don't like them.
They're dorks.
They got weird haircuts.
They don't know how to make an egg.
And Phlox is like, oh, I already have the cure.
Yeah.
I can do it, but this is like a huge ethical dilemma.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And Archer is immediately, like, when he first brings it to him, is just like, no, fucking fix it. And then he's like, all right, I'll think about it. Okay, let me think a little bit harder. But I can't remember why.
He's like, I'm going to write to my doctor friend, but he didn't write back. He never writes back.
No, he never writes back.
We don't get to hear what he said.
Oh, yeah. Hoshi says that they're treating the Mank like pets.
Yeah.
Thus, I forgot about that.
So that's what she's there for.
Yeah.
That's what she helps figure out. Advance some plot element.
Oh, does he, like, give a... Oh, yeah, there's, like, a second plea to Archer, where he's like, they're not supposed to survive.
Right.
It's
just not fun.
Right.
Also, I find it hard to believe that, and I mean, maybe this is, no, it doesn't make sense. If you're a spacefaring society,
yeah,
you have things like the Prime Directive, which I know didn't show up yet.
Right.
But you would have to have, like, guidelines for what if we encounter this?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's something in there that's not like, well, what if we find people that are ailing and they send their ship to find
capable.
That's not as specific as that, but it's like, right, what kind of assistance can we offer
if we get ailed
or whatever,
right? But what they end up doing is Phlox is like, we can't cure it, but we can make you guys more comfortable.
Yeah,
he gives them some sort of some medicine that they can replicate themselves.
Okay.
And then the one from the shuttle who's now in the hospital, the Vlachian hospital, is like, okay, give us your fucking warp drive.
Yeah, if we can't figure
if
this
you
out,
guys, if you guys give us can't a warp help, drive. If you guys can't help, we need to find someone who can. Give us warp.
Yeah.
And no. That, Archer's immediately like, no, fuck no.
Why not?
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
Archer, like, why is all of this on him just feeling shit out?
Yeah, he's
why is
sucks.
He just scrabbling around being like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah.
But I like this. This inconsistent, Archer.
It's so, like, he really does just do whatever the fuck he feels like.
Yeah, so I would assume, like, you would want to have these guidelines in place. I feel like they would have them.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have less of a show.
Right.
I suppose.
Right.
But you wouldn't send out into space humanity and then be like, you guys figure it out.
I'm sorry. Once again, the first person I'm sending out as, like, the ambassador of Earth is not a fucking college water polo player. Whose daddy invented the warp drive. I'm not...
Yeah, you think you wouldn't want to go.
I'm going to aim a little higher in, like, diplomatic relations.
Yeah, I think that's something to look at as important when we're putting ourselves out there for the first time.
Yeah, I'm not sending this fucking dumb jock out there.
God. And then that's that one.
That's it.
That's that one. And now
we talked about it for longer than we should have.
We did. We threw a couple other. We talked about TNG.
Okay. This next one is.
This one's the worst.
Painful.
I'm so sorry. no, I'm not sorry because I'm gonna struggle to remember any of it.
Well, it's because nothing motherfucking happened.
Let me see if I can give the. Yeah. Let me practice doing a summary because I'm. Not going to do a good job on ones that are important.
Yeah.
This one I can get wrong and doesn't matter. So the Enterprise is looking at comets. They're flying around and they're like, we could find as many comets as we want. We found a big, 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 big comet that's so big, it actually accreted its own atmosphere. It's actually a gas giant. It's not even a comet. But they tell Archer that the gas giant is a comet, so he's on
board. So he gets really excited.
He gets jazzed about it. He gets out his comet gear and his... Puts on his favorite comet watching
just
outfit.
About to say the same fucking thing.
He's got like his little opera glasses. It's like going to the Derby. He gets dressed up for the comet. It's a gas giant, and I don't remember. Oh, that's right. There's a distress signal. Right?
No, it's not a distress signal. They're studying the gas giant. So they drop a probe down there, and I think that's they discover the ship.
Oh, they just straight discovered. Okay.
Yeah.
There's
no, because why would a Klingon send a distress signal?
That's true. That's true. So they go down there. They find this Klingon vessel, which seems derelict, and there's that's right. And part of this, the through line for these two episodes also is what does Hoshi do?
Yeah.
Hoshi's like. Can I give me something to do?
Yeah, she asks.
Can I go? It might be interesting to go. And T'Pol's like, yeah, I think you should go.
Yeah.
But Hoshi also is bad at space. She goes and she's struggling.
Yeah.
She's not having fun.
Was that really the B plot? Just that Malcolm had a cold?
Oh, yeah, he's sick. He's space sick.
He has a cold. That's.
So we're already not firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
I'd say they were struggling to have a crew person like Phlox. But at least maybe get some mileage out of that. I don't care if he's... It's like, I don't care if Reed's sick. I don't care if your characters are handcuffed together.
And the only way that comes in is that they beam down and it smells bad and he can't smell it.
Right.
That's it.
There's a lot of smell shenanigans on this show. T'Pol doesn't like the smell.
She doesn't like people. People
stink.
She
doesn't like human
people
stink.
People stink like shit.
They smell like our bathrooms on Vulcan. I can't imagine. It's like having sex with a piece of, like, toilet paper. The guy, I don't want to be near you. I certainly don't want to, you know, invite you into my life.
You.
Yeah, no thank you. Not
you
into my quarters.
You're fired
from my life.
Okay, so keep going.
So they go to the ship. They're poking around. Hoshi is using the universal translator to figure out what's going on because she can't read Klingon.
Yeah,
and they find like a bunch of dead Klingons.
Yeah, And a bunch of unconscious Klingons.
And a bunch of unconscious Klingons. Right. So something bad happened, and the ship, it's descending into the gas giant.
Yeah.
And they are going to run out of time to raise it. If they're interested in that.
Right.
Is that when we get to see that there is a... there is still a living
person? Yeah, because she's peeking around.
Yeah.
Looking around. So there's one Klingon that's walking and is just and sees them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they're like, well, you know what would have been cool is if you sent Trip, who's an engineer.
Yeah.
You could fix the propulsion we could fly this thing out of the gas giant.
Yeah.
But they didn't send that. They didn't send him. They sent Reed and Hoshi. And
to Paul.
Yeah. And so the only way that they can approach the issue with the ship is with explosives.
Yeah.
Which Reed is good at.
This is the only thing that Reed can do.
Right.
And then I think they figured out that they've all been exposed to some toxin.
That's right. And she and the living crew member, the Klingon, is like, you can't rescue us. We are going to have a noble death.
Yeah.
If you save us, then you deprive us of Stolakor. Well,
first T'Pol points it out.
Yeah.
She's like, no, we should let them die.
Yeah.
Because honor.
Yeah, they have feelings about that.
Yeah.
Which is a cool cultural construct that it would be important to know.
Yeah.
And have your crew members aware of. So thankfully, one of them knew.
Yeah. And then she steals their shuttle.
Yes. She takes the shuttle.
She steals their shuttle and is broadcasting.
Come here. More Klingons show up.
More Klingons, please. More Klingons, please. Hello. 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 And they... Oh, they grapple it.
They do grapple
it. They shoot the shuttle. Just invent a fucking tractor beam already.
Yeah, I'm ready. I appreciate that. I mean, again, one of my issues with this show was how quickly they were able to be like, we don't have a transporter. That doesn't work. We have to put new magazines in our phasers because they have a limited...
Never mind.
Then they fix all that immediately. Yeah,
immediately.
The grappler is dumb in general. I would have been okay with them figuring out a tractor beam.
Yeah. And again, and I know I say this probably every time we record, the docking arm sucks. That thing fucking sucks. I hate it. It's so goofy.
It's goofy.
It's just a fucking big magnet that pops onto the that sucks shit.
Yeah. I get it. That's a tough one to work around. No standardization in space, but...
But they take her into sick bay, and she is a real rip-roaring asshole.
Yeah, she sucks. She's mad.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it.
You guys are defiling our ship.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
And then I don't remember anything else. Well, I do remember, the beat of why they have to... She lets them be saved.
Yeah. So they're working in the ship, and it's just... And again, this is another episode that's just an excuse to make T'Pol really sweaty and, wearing as few clothes as possible because it's hot in there.
The ship's hot.
The ship is hot.
Okay.
But they're looking at the bridge to try to figure out how they can get out. And Hoshi's sitting there, beep, 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 trying to read stuff. And she goes, this is something called photon torpedoes? And Reed's like,
boing,
boing. He's like, what the fuck are those? What are those? Can we have those?
I love that.
What's that? He gets real excited.
There's photons in there?
And, yeah, what happens on the ship? They get attacked by a Targ.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that.
Which I think that's a cool idea that we haven't seen in other...
Yeah.
In other shows when you get on a Klingon ship that they have, a livestock.
Yeah, so they can eat.
Fucking the closet. They want fresh Targ.
Yeah. It's living.
Yeah.
You give me that gach. You give me that Targ. I'm a happy man. You give me those dude grubs.
I guess you can't replicate gach.
No, and I could... Well, they wouldn't move. I also think that...
You can replicate Targ because Dax does it and gets... No, she replicates the candles.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, that, I could understand that Klingons would be like, we got to eat fresh. I'm not going to fucking eat out of this tube from that the spaceship gives me.
Yeah. There's no honor. And we do know from other Klingon ships that it is just a big fucking bowl of blood wine that they're all dunking their mugs into.
Yeah.
Filth.
It's dirty. And they're like, going to get sick.
It's really weird how filthy, like, a Klingon ship is.
Don't you think?
And, like, Worf is a very clean man.
Yeah.
Worf is very...
That's probably because of human living that he's been doing.
I guess every time we go to Quonos or anything, too, it is...
It's nasty.
It is nasty, filthy.
It's wet.
It's not a cool place.
Mold. Out of control.
It's also very red-tinged and dusty, like Mexico in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like, to me, like Total Recall, like a Mars.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why there's red grit and rust all over
everywhere.
But it is there.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, that it sort of echoes, I don't know why, I mean, humans, we have a problem with this right now, where we've had it so good for so long with vaccines and stuff. We're like, we don't need this. Yeah. We don't have to take care of any of this. I'm just going to get sick. I'm going to swim in wastewater and I'll be fine.
Right.
Maybe the Klingons also were like, we're doing real well. Mm. We have very potent immune systems and backups of every organ.
Right.
Who cares if it's dirty? I don't care.
I don't give a fuck.
I think it's cool and honorable.
I can do more honor if I don't have to vacuum.
Yeah. That's more time for honor. I don't need to, and I don't want to be pampered.
Right.
If I clean up.
Yeah.
If I clean my toilet.
But Worf's got that kind of beautiful hair that he styles every morning.
Does he? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's long. We've seen him comb it out.
Long, luxurious hair. We've seen it down when he's, he's all sex injured.
Yes.
He used to have that page boy.
True, yes. So he clearly cared about it.
Yeah.
Used to have that tonsure.
But I guess you never really.
It's like the hair equivalent of that cloth the Ferengi wear around the back of the head. Because I guess they just couldn't figure out what to do with the back of the head.
I guess you don't ever really see other Klingons with their hair up.
No, you don't.
Sorella, maybe?
I guess that's true, yeah.
I don't know if her hair was up.
It's not inconvenient if it's down.
Yeah.
If it gets ripped out in combat, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's another cool thing you can do.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So,
So there's animals.
So there's targs and stuff, but it's just, they're just having a hot time.
Sweaty.
Trying to figure out.
And Reed stinks.
Trying to figure out how to get the Klingon ship out of the atmosphere before it gets, like, crushed.
Right.
But meanwhile, Archer is, like, reading up on Klingon shit, which, like, you are the person that has interfaced the most with them. So at this point, what are you reading? You're reading your own fucking logs.
Right.
But he's like, I've been reading up on their customs and all of this stuff, and I think I have a way to talk to her so that she'll let us go and get the ship. And he does... What does he even say?
He says...
How does he make it honorable?
To save them?
Yeah.
Do we don't have the toxin element yet?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that's how figure out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he tells them that the toxin is from...
The wine.
This poisoned wine.
Or the ale.
They brought this ale on board from...
Their conquest. I forget the name of the species they attacked.
From some species. And they all drank it because it's like the spoils of war.
Right.
But it was poisoned.
Which they didn't even check for because they're stupid and they don't care. Because
they don't give a fuck.
They'll drink anything if it's in a wine bottle.
Yeah.
And they did.
Is this liquor? Great.
We're going to drink it.
And so that's how they all got sick. So it's not an honorable death.
It's a dope death. It's a
bullshit death. It's a joke of a death.
Right. And none of y'all going to go heaven.
No one's going to heaven.
No.
No one's going to Klingon Heaven. He doesn't know what it's called. He did all the reading, but he doesn't know what it's called.
Whatever the one is called. Striker, whatever. I don't remember the name of his stovehouse.
You motherfucker. You're not going. You're going on the barge.
You get on the boat.
You're getting on the boat, and that boat sucks.
So she's like, oh, no, I don't like that.
She's like, oh, okay, all right. But what is it even?
And then they go down, they do that.
And then
Reed figures out how to use the...
Yeah, he fires the photon torpedoes to, like...
We could shoot our way out.
To shoot them up.
And Hoshi uses languages to word the ship out. And T'Pol sweats until she sweats in one area of the ship. And she takes off all her clothes that puts a different density of mass in one part of the ship, which assists the explosives and the words.
And then, so they use
their individual skills.
So she sent out that distress signal.
Yeah.
Though. So there's a bunch of Klingon ships coming in. And then they get that ship out. And is that who hails them?
I think so.
And it's like, I'm going to fuck you up. The captain of the damaged, fucked up ship is like, I'm going to kill you now. You defiled my ship, and I don't like you, and I don't like that you helped me. And so I am going to kill you so that no one can ever know that you helped me. And Archer's like, are you serious? Because, like,
we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, if I hit you once, your ship's going to blow apart.
You'll just go back down. We used all your bombs to get you out. Yeah. You don't even have anything left to shoot at us.
But he wants the Enterprise to surrender, to fulfill honor. I don't... It's Klingons.
No, you know what? How about this? Your ship is going to go ahead and descend into the gas giant. We surrender.
Yeah.
And we will say whatever you want as you tumble down and are crushed.
Yeah.
So you can feel good about it. We'll give you the keys to Earth.
Oh, there's an extended scene.
There's an extended sequence where Reed is sweating. And T'Pol is also very sweaty.
Yeah, so, okay. And she that's it. And then everybody gets out of there. And then the episode, nothing happened. And then Hoshi, T'Pol, and Reed are in the decon chamber just so that they can get some titties in here, too.
Which I don't think... There isn't very much of it. I mean, in as much as there always is.
Yeah.
It just feels...
There's no goop. We don't have to watch them goop each other up.
Yeah.
They're just sitting on a bench.
It's like a sauna. It's like a steam.
And they're like, they've been in there for however long, and Phlox is like, you're done. No microbes or whatever. And Hoshi and Reed are just enjoying the feeling of being clean so much that they're like, No, we need a couple more minutes. We need a little bit more time in here. And he's like, for real? And then T'Pol does a little cheeky lie for them, too. And that's just like a T'Pol learning to be people, I guess. And they're talking about how nice it is.
To what?
Hoshi and Reed are talking about how nice the decon chamber is. They just keep saying, feel clean. What do you smell? Nothing. It's just like, I don't know. How filthy are you guys all the time?
Also, does the decon chamber, like, kill your cold? Like, if you have a cold, can I go in and
breathe? I don't know.
Does it take care of something like that?
I don't know. He does seem that he is no longer sick. He does seem like he's not sick anymore. But then why would Phlox just give him fucking Dayquil?
Yeah, send him on his way. Yeah, get him in the... like, everybody should be in there all the time.
Yeah.
Sweating, stinking it up. God,
talking about how much they love it, and T'Pol musters up a, it is pleasant, and that is the button on the episode.
Yeah.
Reed
conspiratorially smirk at each other like, she likes it.
Yeah.
It's fun to be nude and wet in the room. And we were talking about, why would you, if we know that you have to be in the decon chamber after missions.
Right.
Why wouldn't you give them something to do in there?
Yeah.
And again, I do understand that a lot of this is to streamline the show and the narrative, where it's like, it's, for example, Hoshi is teaching is figuring out like how to make the universal translator work better.
Yeah.
She could just have it out at all times, but that's annoying for the actor to have to do that.
Yeah.
And similarly, they could be working on their reports or things in the decon room, but we don't need to see that. We want to see them unfettered. So the only thing they can pay attention to is one another for these erotic character moments.
Right. Okay, do you want to see what Memory Alpha has deemed to be memorable quotes from this fucking episode?
Yes, we would love to know.
We can travel faster than the speed of light. You think we could find a cure for the common cold? And then it says, Reed, suffering from a cold.
No, I don't think they're related. I get what you're saying, but no.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it.
You can't smell that? No, this damn cold. Count your blessings.
Who says that?
Hoshi says it to Reed.
About, oh, because it's a stink. About the Klingon stink, vessel.
About the stink.
It's a wild stench. I feel like, so we did pretty good.
Remind me to stop trying to help people. That's an Archer quote.
Oh, I knew those Archer.
Fuck you, dude.
No, Archer, this is not your private ship.
Yeah, we did half an episode. We've gotten half an episode of.
It's about that long, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what a nightmare.
Bad.
Just, ugh. Let's workshop. Let's just workshop.
Yeah, what if this happens again?
Oh, it will. I don't know that there will be two duds like this in a row.
I just choked my way through this.
Yeah.
This is only here. I don't mind if nobody listened to it.
Right.
It's just to maintain the pace.
Yeah. It's
like a spacer.
We might hit on something. No, but, like, what do we do when this happens again? When this happens again, already ready for it. so that we don't end up waiting 6 fucking weeks to record just because the episodes are so bad.
Well, I think, are we trying to, I mean, obviously, in taking this whole show, we are judging it on its merits.
Yeah.
And a sort of feeling out.
Yes.
What would be like, oh, I'm glad they did this. Or, you know, it would have been way cooler if they did this other thing.
Yeah.
Because I also feel like there isn't enough here to, like, how would we improve this episode? I don't know. I wouldn't have written this episode.
I
would skip it.
It's so little content.
Yeah.
That you know what it could use?
Hmm.
A classroom interview.
I was going to say, that was a filler element.
Yeah. But there's nothing here. It's all just like blah, blah, blah.
Oh, we forgot.
Sweaty people.
We forgot that Hoshi wanted to go, but she was scared of space.
And now she's just not anymore.
And now she's better. Because yeah. T'Pol taught her how to breathe.
Oh, yeah. She has like, so Hoshi has like a panic attack.
She's like claustrophobia.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't like a hot Klingon room.
Yeah.
That's yucky.
And T'Pol teaches her some Vulcan wizardry, which she really is just kind of handing out.
It's just box breathing.
Willy-nilly. Yeah, it is just box breathing.
There's nothing else.
She acts like it's ancient Klingon, or ancient Vulcan magic.
You know what? The Klingons probably also have box breathing.
And she, yeah, because anxiety is not honorable.
No, you gotta find a way to tamp that down.
Yeah, I take Lexapro.
No, you can't do that.
Fuck.
If you're a Klingon, you don't get to do that.
Shit.
Weakness. That's weakness.
Pills are weakness leaving the body.
Pills?
Yeah.
But pills go in.
But then the weakness goes away.
I don't know. I think Klingons might make Lexapro in their body. Like they have an organ that produces it.
Yeah. That's their Ketracel.
Yeah. We have all number of Ketracels that we need.
Yeah.
Some of them we make, some of them we have to eat, take in,
right.
Water.
Yeah.
Ketracel clear. Crystal Ketracel.
Crystal Ketracel. God, I love Crystal Ketracel.
You humans, you make fun of us. You need this liquid every day. You need a lot of it, too.
Yeah.
I need a little white, and I'm in business.
Just a little bit of white.
I just need a little charge of it. But you gotta drink like fucking 8 glasses of your Ketracel.
And you're not doing it. I can tell from your... I can tell... You're not getting enough Ketracel.
Yeah. Your pee is...
We've been analyzing your urine.
For decades.
And it's not looking right.
You don't look good. I like the idea of, let's try and introduce that into our speech. Like, what's my Ketracel? It's like something that is good. I want it. Oh, yeah. I can't live without
ours
it.
Ours is Taco Bell, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Cantina. Ketracel. The sauce.
so good.
It's good. So, okay. So, we can pivot to Taco Bell. And by that, I don't mean conversationally. I mean, let's just go.
Oh.
If it's a bad episode,
yeah,
we can just eat Taco Bell.
We can, and then we can record at the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
While we crunch down that Cantina Chicken crunchy taco thing.
If anything, at least it would introduce like a Pavlovian, like... It's not so bad to talk about this shitty episode.
Yeah, it's fine now because I have Taco Bell.
Because I get to do something else I like.
Because I have delicious Taco Bell. What else do we like to do? We could go record at a bar.
Could record in a... It's noisy, though.
Yeah.
If only
I went to that one place still, because it was quiet in there, but fuck them forever.
I see. No, listen, I was going to say, depending on what time of day, any restaurant, maybe bar is best because of the, you're not going to hear as much like forks and knives clanging.
Yeah.
But you just add some little Dabo table beeps.
Oh, yeah.
And that's ambiance. You just got the promenade right there.
I listen to that when I read.
Just like 8 hours of
promenade.
DS9 promenade.
Yeah. The Dabo is a little too frequent, though, so then I just pivot to, like, engine noise.
Mm-hmm.
Just a regular...
There are so many ambient Star Trek noises on YouTube where the person is so scared that you're going to forget this is Star Trek that it's like every 5 minutes, every sound has to play.
Yeah.
I'm listening to.
Aren't they just doing... boop, 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 boop. No. But isn't the ambient noise all from the game?
It might be.
I just assumed that they just pulled the...
Oh, I know that there are people that make...
Oh.
They want it to sound a certain way, or they're like, I want the audio to be better than it is.
Yeah.
But there's so many where, like, am I supposed to be going to sleep to this? Because you get the sounds of, like, crew people talking.
Right.
Like, Kira is saying something...
Oh, really?
Once in a while.
Oh, that would drive me fucking crazy.
I don't want that.
Yeah.
That's not what I want.
Yeah, the Promenade one that I've listened to is pretty tame. It's just there's a lot of Dabo. There's big winners. Quark is going bankrupt.
there's a lot of... I think I know the one you're talking about. Dabo.
Dabo.
Every 10 minutes you're going to get... I mean, more frequently than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to read to that one. Dabo!
How about this one? I mean, this one we could work on. I don't know what kind of enterprise ambient noises there are.
Yeah.
But you could do one that's in the infirmary, in the sick bay.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like there are your beeps and all that stuff, but you also get every once in a while Phlox going, oh. Like he's just interested. Just like,
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if there is one. Let's find out.
Here's Archer in his office.
And it's that ball. It's his ball fucking banging against the wall.
Yeah, and also like, no, Porthos, don't eat that. A lot of that. Eight hours of it.
Oh, you want cheese?
All right.
Every fucking 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll give you cheese.
Okay, I'll give you cheese.
But this is
That was part of the Dr. Phlox episode.
Oh, that's right.
That,
it's like...
Archer brought Porthos into the infirmary. Because he's having tummy troubles.
Anyway, sorry about this, and sorry that this one wasn't any good. But it's not our fault. It is the fault of Enterprise.
Oh, we're really just going to make this a short as fuck one?
Well, I don't know what else to do.
I don't either.
Let's keep going. Let's think a little bit more about it. We wanted to expand it outward.
Yeah.
But in saying it aloud, in considering this as, well, maybe here's something we can do.
Yeah.
In saying it aloud, I'm realizing how little... efficacy it's going to have because so much of this is built out of the decisions that the show made.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, well, if you wanted to avoid this, you wouldn't have made this choice from the jump.
Right.
So we can't fix it retroactively.
And it's like...
This is what you wanted to do with Hoshi and it's dumb. I don't like it.
And it's really bad.
But that was the decision you made.
There is one episode where she is utilized, I think, to her actual potential. No, she sucks.
She sucks.
Mayweather sucks.
Mayweather's not good. We haven't seen anything out of him recently.
He probably said something.
You know what? They feel a little bit like... I mean, every show when it starts, everybody's archetypes are real broad.
Yeah.
This is the character that's innocent and a goofball. And this is the character that's surly. He doesn't like what's happening.
And this is the character that's catfish.
And this, yeah, this character is Swamp. He brings Swamp elements to the show.
And this is the character that looks like a football coach.
I think I had the same feeling about Voyager, which is why I didn't get into it, where it's like, I didn't see enough of it to see these people evolving.
No, yeah. The beginning of Voyager is really painful.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's weird because I do not really enjoy the show, but I do keep coming back to, well, here's a cool thing that happened on Voyager. Here's a cool thing that happened on Voyager. It's like, it's good in spite of itself. For me personally, I know there are people that are diehard Voyager freaks or whatever.
I'm thinking about how it's like, oh, I don't like any of these shows, but I like the lore drops.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the show.
Right.
It's just like, this kind of computer is interesting that they have. And
right.
Well, what about the show? I'll pay attention to that. I only pay attention when
So they had the transporter and it's installed in the ship and it's used for cargo. That's interesting.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good. Never mind, it's for people again.
Yeah, I like what could be done with this, but then they don't. But then they move away.
But it's weird that they did the same thing with Voyager. Because in the beginning, when they're stranded over there, they're like, we only have fucking a complement of 32 photon torpedoes
Cool thing.
And they start, then there is like a, oh, can we use it, should we use it thing. And immediately that gets abandoned also.
Yeah.
The only thing that they talk about to kind of act like there's still some sort of scarcity is people's replicator rations. And it's like, I don't give a fuck if you have to eat Neelix's food. I don't care. Sorry.
Also, I mean, and I would love to just to go in on that. Because, I want to know how that show gets around the idea of, I thought you could basically have infinite energy.
Right.
I know it's not infinite.
Right.
But you're telling me you have warp power, but then we have to watch how much we use the replicator for.
Yeah.
It can't be that much energy.
Right.
There's no, these are orders of magnitude.
Also, it's like, it's almost like saying there's a finite amount of matter on the ship.
Yeah.
Which can't be.
That can't be either.
Because people are making it, but that's for boots. You can replicate all the boots you want.
Yeah.
Not foods.
I could see that being a constraint. But again, like the order of magnitude is so different.
Yeah.
If you are at, we can't replicate so much, then you don't have warp power.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's not anything.
Right.
Because, it's like, I get it. If it's like, well, we need something, we need to conserve that in case like a bulkhead goes out.
Right.
Or we need shoes, maybe.
Yeah.
But not like nice shoes.
No. Not good shoes.
Not like fashion.
No.
And yet, you tell me, I don't think Paris was knitting and sewing together his own proton shit.
No.
He's replicating that.
Right.
Fucking in bulk.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
I could see the holodeck not being used.
Sure.
Turn that off.
Yeah.
That's very wasteful.
And instead, Paris opens a bar on the holodeck that is open 24 hours.
That's not okay.
Right.
That's a huge replicator.
And they go there and they play pool and shit. Yeah.
You could do that with a regular pool table.
Right.
Can I replicate a pool table? Replicate one.
Yeah.
Don't wipe it.
Yeah.
It doesn't go back into a buffer.
Yeah.
Stupid.
No, it's like it really doesn't make sense.
I think that we would have the replicator, something that kind of breaks everything if you think about it.
Yeah.
But the idea that you recycle your poop.
Right.
Into whatever.
For boots.
It's for boots. Poops for boots. If you don't like the idea, of eating waste.
Yeah.
We'll just use it for the pool tables and stuff.
Right.
We're going to use it for the cues. You can walk around in that holodeck and know that everything in here is solid. It's not just shaped light.
Yeah.
With a force field around it.
Some of it's cum.
Some of it is jizz. A lot of it is jizz, to be honest. It's actually a simple enough protein that is very versatile for building like a hard light construct in the holodeck.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely, we are predetermining. We check that buffer.
Is Phlox the sperm, the semen, or the coach?
He's the coach. He's so detached from everything. He's just like, I like just seeing it happen. I don't care about this. I don't want this.
All right.
I'm not a part of this.
Yeah.
Is that sort of also when he mentions that he has three wives and each of them has three husbands, is that sort of like a look at what an ally I am? Like, look how liberated we are. Like, I have three wives, but they also have three husbands.
Oh, yeah, he does. So, like, but I.
It's not just one way.
Right.
It's not a harem.
Yeah.
It's a two-way multi-harem.
How many people is that?
That's what I didn't understand. It's like, if there's like
I'm
a reflexive.
A hard time counting.
Yeah. Is there any recursion?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I constitute two of my, one of my wife's husbands or something like that. Because if you do that, can you even have enough diversity on the surface?
Right.
Where it's like, well, if you set those numbers up, everybody is married to everybody else.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
There's no way to make that work.
Right. It doesn't.
What's the three got? What does three do?
Yeah.
Is that because of the mating? Like, that's the base
number?
I
think so.
So everything would
but
be
I
built
around
that. But
I think three is like everybody does three. But then why are there three more over there?
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm having a hard time with this.
This is a, if I remember back from college, this is like a. This is a finite state automata. This is a grammar problem.
Yeah.
And if I start from a state of like, here's Phlox.
Yeah.
And we can migrate to a state, we have three wives states. But then those will branch out.
Yeah.
But he's one of the husbands.
He is one of them.
So yes. What's the longest string we can form by just walking along these edges?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's like it
could be infinite.
It's dizzying to think about.
No, I don't like it.
No. But if
I'd leave too. I'd be on the Enterprise just to get away from that.
The fuck away from that.
Is everybody married to everybody else? Ugh, I don't want to talk about it. We don't like it.
It hurts my head. It's like Worf with the
head ridges. We don't
talk
about
that. That's a Klingon? Shut the fuck up.
Yes. No, it doesn't matter.
Also, in that episode, why is Worf wearing like that weird camo outfit?
What
is that?
Because
is that a TOS thing?
It's a TOS thing. Because there's a character in that episode who's basically wearing that.
Oh, okay.
It's just a reference to that.
Okay.
It's the salesman who... Oh, wait, no.
No.
No, Odo is wearing that. Isn't he?
What, the salesman? No. Who? Worf is definitely in that camo shit when they're in the...
Bar. One of the characters from DS9 is wearing like a multi-pocketed huge thing. And I wanted to say it was Worf. I got to look at a picture of him.
I don't know.
But that is what Cyrano Jones,
The
guy who introduces the Tribble for the first time,
yeah.
What he's wearing.
But he's all over that episode.
He's all over that episode, yes. He's behind the bar. Oh, yeah. Let me look up DS9 Tribbles. See what we get.
The Tribble with Tribble.
Just want to see the pictures of the cast. Who's wearing what?
Who's got what on?
Who's doing what? I think that show, that episode did more to make me be okay with TOS style anything.
Yeah.
Just because they were like, oh, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
We had this fake leather and these short skirts, and that's just what was happening in that era. Rather than, why does it all look like shit? Why does it look dumb compared to what they have now?
Yeah.
That was just a stylistic thing. Where are the characters?
I don't know. You could type the word Worf in there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Let me see this Worf's.
So this is just a how to use Google segment.
No, he's got huge fucking pockets.
Okay.
Oh, but so does Odo. They're both wearing a variant of thing.
Okay.
Massive.
But he's got that stupid camo hat on the cover.
He's
of it.
Got digital
it looks
camo
so weird.
And a hat.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's really.
I don't know why he is wearing that.
Yeah, see, and then his character is wearing. It is camo on him, too.
Oh, okay. So he's just wearing the same thing?
Yeah, he just is wearing the exact same thing.
Huh.
In fact, even Worf is wearing a striped shirt, also.
Oh, weird.
And so is Odo, for that matter.
Yeah.
Odo is wearing a color swap. A palette swap Cyrano Jones outfit.
Basically.
Stupid.
It's a fantasy wish fulfillment, but also
So I'm going to go a little further.
Co-op board meeting.
I'm going to go a little further. That means that given that two characters from DS9 are wearing a huge pocketed thing, and we have another guy on the space station who's also wearing it,
right,
that back in that time period, this was a very common look.
This is what...
Massive kangaroo pouch pockets up high.
This
is
the civilian outfit of choice.
Yeah, this was very frequently worn at space stations.
Wait, what's the bartender wearing? Does he have pockets?
He looks like a motorcycle bellhop.
Yeah.
Is what that looks like.
Is it like a leather?
It looks like leather.
Princess sleeve.
Mm-hmm. It is a shorter sleeve, for sure. Yeah, show me the bar. Show me the tribbles. I'm going to just look at the TOS show.
No, nobody likes that.
Yeah, but it might show me a better picture of that guy. And that bartender, I don't know what his name is. We'll get Cyrano Jones for days.
We'll get Cyrano Jones for free.
Look at this smiling fool. Look at this dope.
He was in the animated series also?
Oh, I guarantee it. Oh, yeah, look. It's got, like, bars on it.
Yeah.
So the bartender at K7, the space station... He's wearing almost like a Wesley Crusher sort of...
Yeah.
Like, there's big color bands across the front of his leather-like jacket.
Yeah, what is...
But I don't know what that indicates.
This is awful.
He's got two sets of three.
Now we're just talking about nothing.
No, we're talking about nothing, and it's not important. But everybody in the past looks bad. And they tried to sort of cover it with what DS9 did.
Yeah.
But it's true that every piece of fashion in TOS is dumb. It's dumb.
And that in TOS they called the Klingon language Klingonese.
Yeah.
Which is fucking disgusting.
It's very bad.
It's so stupid.
I'm not saying they would be hauling garbage. I'm saying the Enterprise should be hauled away as garbage. And he's so mad.
Got
and
him.
Scotty gets so mad.
That's his favorite ship.
That's the ship I work
That's
on.
That's the ship he likes. I've never seen. I've only seen the movies.
Well, if you've seen that DS9, so that scene is verbatim.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to fight you guys. Your ship is dumb. I'm going to kill you.
I will kill you.
I will kill every Klingon in this bar. Don't get in a fight, Chekhov. It's not worth it.
Don't do
it. Ship's dumb. I don't like engineering.
Just
oh, my God.
Kill him.
You should have heard what he said, Captain.
He said our ship was dumb.
He said our ship should have been filled with garbage and rolled into a garbage hole. And
put it in a garbage can.
They said it was a garbage can ship. And
and then they...
Take a deep breath.